Hi, Unpackers. Want to thank you to coming back to another episode. And remember, whatever you hear, Tay and I are simply providing a perspective. Neither of us are professionals. We expect for you to, you know, reach out to certified professionals if you need the help. And this is simply our perspective. If you hear an interaction that reminds you of yourself, then just know it comes from grace. And if you would like to come on and unpack it with us, you have an open invitation. You can find our pages on unpacking.your.ish on most social media. And if you'd like to support our work, you can do that through paypal.me/unpacking.your.ish. Again, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and let's unpack.
Good morning, Unpackers. This is Reese.
And this is Tay. Good morning.
Yes, and this is our season finale.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's the end of season three.
This is season three.
Three, wow. Yes. Time is flying.
I know. So again, like last season, we're going to be on a 4-week hiatus, and then we'll be back in May. We've been talking about normalizing.
Yeah.
This season, right?
Yeah, we have. We have normalized intimacy, accountability, imperfections, fighting fair, and saying no.
Yeah. And so today we're going to normalize just, you know, charting your own path, going off script a little bit, because that's what we can do. This right. is our show.
I love it. Yeah, because we had a whole plan, and we're like, okay, this is the one that we have to do now. But then it was just kind of like, you know what? Where are we at? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Where are our heads today?
So, and I think one of the things, we had a really great memory recently with friends.
Yeah.
We did a karaoke.
So, yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
And I think it was really, maybe we can talk about, you know, just friends, like adult friendships, because they take a lot of work.
They do. and then they don't.
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, like, I feel like some of my groups of friends or some of my friends, the relationships are so easy.
Yeah.
They don't have to be catered to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I might not talk to you for months, but when we do talk, it's like we talk every day.
Yeah.
I have those adult friendships, and then I have other ones that require more attention. You know, you do kind of have to reach out and text at least every other day, because
yeah.
that's, you know, the person's level of need. Well, people's level of need.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I think that coming into an adult and just prioritizing and seeing mm-hmm. which of those friendships I want to keep, which ones I'm okay with letting go, you know, what serves me, because what I'm trying to do is really seriously normalize no, is huge for me, because I had to learn to not only accept no, but be able to give it out too.
Yeah, well, and what I love right now with where I am with friends, and I feel like I've got a really good core group of friends that I love, and for me, that's been a journey, because I've also felt like the afterthought in friend groups. I'm like, we'll remember Maurice at the end of the day. You invite everybody else, and then like, oh, but now I have people to be like, oh no, don't think about me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you're one of the top invites.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So and getting there is really about, from my perspective, it's been about just saying, okay, I am going to choose people that are for me, and also not hold people accountable, or not hold you accountable, but hold it against people when they choose other things.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this previously, but because
yeah.
you can take stuff so personally when someone doesn't call you, or someone says, oh, I'm gonna show up for your birthday and things like that. And I'm not saying that you don't have hard conversations or your feelings aren't hurt. I'm just saying, at the same time that you can feel that, you can also say, that person may be in a different place than I am, and that's okay.
Now, allowing that grace, because I feel like I am that person that will not expect anything from anyone. I don't expect you to do anything for me. If you do it, it's great, and I'm excited, and I love it. But at the same time, my expectations for other people are very, I don't want to say expectations are low, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I feel like when you don't expect something from people, then, you know.
I will push back on that, because expectations are good.
They are
important, because they help you determine boundaries and determine what you need and want.
And see, and that's the thing. I still have my boundaries. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I know, hey, this is a hard no for me. This is a wall for me. But I still really don't. You know, for example, we had my friend and I, my best friend and I do birthday stuff. And so, like, when I went, she took me to see a Cowboys game. It was so exciting. We went to Tampa. We went to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. We had a very good time. And so when her birthday came around, I called and I was like, so, hey, you know, what you want to do? What do you have planned for your birthday? No, I said, do you have any plans for your birthday? And she's like, do you have plans for my birthday? And I'm like, whoa, pause. Now, I did, of course, take her on a trip in return, but it kind of left me feeling a way, because when she took me on that trip, I didn't expect that. I didn't, nothing, but when you look at it the other way, she was completely expecting that I did something.
Yeah, well, I think that is fair.
And I'm not like that.
Well, I think that's fair. You know, having the expectation of, okay, someone's not reading your mind, because that seems more like a communication issue versus...
Oh, no, I knew.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not
okay, well, then that's on you. You should have done it.
And that's why I was completely prepared to do whatever, because it was just kind of like, that's the expectation now.
Yeah.
You know, and I set my standard. Like I said, every friendship is different. Yeah. And this is one of my childhood friendships that has grown into an adult relationship and friendship. And now it's just kind of like harder to navigate, because I can't excuse some of that shit anymore.
Yeah, well, and I talking about the expectations are not bad, but you also need to communicate them. And so even in a friendship that has been long, you know, standing, because if you need something from another person or want something, just expecting them to read your mind to consistently have the same pattern. Life happens.
People change.
And you need to allow for that. So definitely, I can see both sides there of like, hey, you set this expectation. It's been consistent. And so I don't feel like I should have to tell you about the word. I think that's one of the things that I've tried to get out of my vocabulary. The should thing.
Yeah,
no,
you can't.
No, it's just like, at the end of the day, communicate it.
Right.
If I need it, I got to communicate
it.
Didn't communicate it, then it's not on you.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that thought. I wish more people thought like that.
No, because
people expect you, like, it's almost like, and I don't know if I made this analogy before, but it's almost like a woman waking up or a man waking up having a dream that their spouse has cheated.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're holding your spouse accountable for a dream.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing. If you don't tell me, it might as well be a dream. Because what do you expect me to do?
Yeah, it's wishful thinking.
Right. I'm like, good for you.
You manifested.
You wanted that. Good for you. But yeah, I can't make it happen because I didn't know.
Yeah.
So like for me, I am a person. I'm going to be direct with you.
Yeah.
So I need you to be direct with me in return. Tell me what you need. Don't leave me to figure it out.
Well, and I think, again, for me, I'm very grateful that I got relationships now where I can be more honest.
I agree.
And I feel like I have people in my life that will be honest with me. And for example, a good friend who I genuinely love their company, and they show up. They were unable to come to the karaoke last night.
Yeah.
But they messaged me this morning and said, hey, I was really ill. And I was like, I appreciated how vulnerable and open they were. Because some people would just be like, I don't care.
I'm not coming.
Exactly. I didn't show up.
Right. That was kind.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you have your friends that will be like, I'm coming.
And then don't. That gets on my nerves. It does. And it's really, I think that's the harder thing in adult relationships, to give grace to that type of behavior. Yeah. Because I think I saw this IG where he was saying, well, you know, I don't care about what you were going through or things like that. And I'm like,
that's not that deep.
Exactly. Well, it's just, I mean, we hold people to these standards that are just, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, we are not robots.
Right.
We're human beings, and people have fears, insecurities, whatever. And instead of putting that, like, well, I communicate like this, like, it just gets into perfectionism. It gets into self-righteousness. Ain't nobody perfect.
Right.
So stop putting that on people.
Right. I agree 100%. And one thing too, like, I guess expectations, maybe like when you said, placing those particular standards on people or wanting people to just know something. I think that's why I don't really, everything that I do, I'm doing because I want to and out of kindness.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to do anything in return. I don't expect anyone to do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I a person that loves things done? Sure.
Yeah.
I love a gift. I love somebody like, hey, I was thinking about you.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, text me. I love it. But I don't expect those things. And if I do that for someone else, I'm not doing it because I expect you to do it to me.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because I genuinely want to know how you are. I'm sure you're okay.
I think that that is fair.
Yeah.
Because to me, one of the things I dislike about relationships is, well, some relationships is people look at it as transactional.
Yes.
And so I dislike that transactional nature of things. And if I do something for someone, then I want to try in my mind and heart that it's from generosity.
Right.
For example, the karaoke night that we did, I have a boo, my boo. And if you listen to the podcast, it's three-week guy, you know, long story. Well, I'll tell you another day. but when we were talking about it, his thought was like, well, your friend should, you know, chip in, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I wanted to do this. I brought it up. So I'm not going to put anyone under an obligation to do it. I was like, hey, let's do this.
Yeah.
And so if you did something, great. But if you didn't, I'm not going to be like, I did this for this room and I paid this and you should have done this and offered. And no, I wanted to do it.
Absolutely.
I invited you. And so whatever's in your heart.
And what you want to give, give.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, but during that karaoke, you did kind of have a boss up moment though, and I loved it. I was living.
Listen,
and you know what I'm talking about.
I know, because I felt bad.
I was living for it. I was like, yeah.
I felt bad, but it's okay.
Come through, boss.
And yes, I do have my moments. Listen,
I loved it. Absolutely, yes.
So we were okay. It was coming towards the end
of
the night.
We're wrapping
it
up.
End of the night. And I really hadn't sung anything that I wanted to sing, you know? So I basically was trying to, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to sing something that I want to sing.
Right.
And then another guest said, hey, I have something that everyone, you know, and I was like, excuse me. This is my event, basically.
Teach your voice.
I'm going to do what I want to do at this moment. Thank you.
It was hilarious, but the guest took it very well.
Yes. Because I wasn't trying to, like...
No,
I was just,
you weren't like, trying to be mean. I just loved the boss up. That's all. I was like, yes. I like that. It was funny.
Yeah. No, I felt bad because... It's like, telling people no, you know, it's hard.
We're trying to normalize.
Exactly.
That.
Like telling you no.
Yeah, because I definitely didn't see anything wrong with you.
Yeah, I know it went wrong.
Because
it was like, dude, I invited you.
Right. No, this is what we're doing. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Like I'm leading this party. Right. I'm the host.
Thank you.
Yes. Know your role here. in a nice way. If you ever hear this, just know.
No, and the guest took it so well. Like, yeah. Wasn't offended.
Because I still kept myself to the 2.
But you weren't mean.
Yeah, I kept myself to the 2-minute rule.
You follow the rule.
Exactly. Because I said at the end, like, everyone, if you're going to sing, let's take 2 minutes and move over so that everyone can have an opportunity. And so, yeah. But that was funny.
That was funny. I loved it. It was definitely a boss moment there. Yeah. But as far as, you know, when I think about the idea of trying to live in the moment, like we're kind of doing with this episode, breaking out of these norms that we create for ourselves. I started a new job recently.
Yes.
And I'm loving it. And like on the path of talking about like adult friends, like I feel like I have had office jobs before. Yeah. I have been in corporate. I have been a teacher. I've done a lot of jobs, but this really feels like my first like adult job. And I think that's happening because I'm in a different place.
Woman.
Right. Mentally. And then I was working at schools, but you know, when you're working with children,
sometimes you don't feel like the people take that seriously or like in your brain.
It didn't feel like this.
Yeah.
So now I feel like, you know, my email signatures matter. Mm. Like those kinds of little things are really important to me because when I work, it kind of has taken me back to when I worked HR, corporate. I'm working for a nonprofit, but it kind of is taking me back to corporate. Like I'm getting back into that, you know, I got to go to work mode and, you know, I'm really enjoying that. So like the idea of, you know, like friends and now trying to be friends in adulthood.
Yeah.
I think that starting new jobs and stuff or new positions when you're in, you know, this mode has been a transition too.
Yeah.
Because I had to kind of wrap my mind back around responsibility in that way, like don't wear this to the office because it's not, you know, it's not appropriate or, you know, like certain things. But that has really been a transition that I did not expect. I didn't expect it to be that big. I knew a new job would be a transition, but the thought process that went along with it is kind of, I didn't expect that.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, normalizing going off script or just things not working to plan.
Yeah.
Because this time last year, for some of you, well, Shantae knows this, I have dealt with some job losses.
Yeah.
Some huge ones, like, you know, got a job, then got a new one I was excited about, then lost that one.
Yeah.
And part of the things that before I left a previous company, I was thinking, hey, I really wanted to be in leadership. I actually applied for a role before what I was putting on a performance improvement plan. interesting story. Can't get into too much detail. But, you know, so I was excited about, like, oh, you know, I had this opportunity.
Yeah.
The interview went well. It was with an old team. And so I was ready to go into leadership. And then had a job loss. Yeah. And then another job loss. And fast forward, I just recently accepted a position, a leadership position, at my new organization. And so it's like, oh, wow. It didn't happen the way that I would want it to, but it happened.
Exactly.
You know? And so I think sometimes just being okay to say, we are really bad at predicting the future. That's one of the things the book, the Designing Our Life book that we read, talks about. And so you have to be open to those zigs and zags that, hey, sometimes we get so focused on, oh, I've got to make it this company or in this way or da 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 da. Instead of saying, I'm developing skills.
Right.
The skills that I developed at that organization, even though they didn't see it in me or want to continue to develop me, I still have.
Right.
And now it's being recognized. Now, again, who knows? I can hit a ceiling somewhere or, you know, at this organization, but it's that growth, being open to moving where life leads me instead of being so dug in of, oh, I gotta make this work. And we can bang our heads up against a wall and do the same thing. And then we're saying, okay, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? And it's like, it's not. It's the place. Move on.
That's exactly what I had to do, you know, with my old job. I just decided, yeah, take a chance.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, and
bet on yourself.
Yeah. And I did. And I love the results. You know, I'm not complaining. I think this is a much better place for me to be at in my current state and where I am. You know, I feel like it's a much better thing. So I'm pretty excited about it. But again, just that idea of being off script, it's it's scary sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it definitely is.
But so far, I feel like it's been worth it. In all the areas of my life, actually, that I've decided to veer off the, you know, normal path and do something different, like making a decision to walk away from a relationship, though it was functional. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily the best thing, but it was functional. I could have stayed and attempted to work through some things and saw how we could have went. Sure, I could have done that. But I chose to take the path that, you know, left me single and mm-hmm. having to figure out some things for myself.
Okay, so we're going to talk about...
And I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you brought up the relationship thing, so we were talking about work.
Because sometimes you have to step off paths for... You know, non-traditionalists.
I agree. I'm just like, how... Going off script. So I'm gonna go off script a little bit because I'm gonna play maybe really bad cop a little.
Oh god.
Cause I do when you have talked about your relationships mm-hmm. and I'm gonna put all your business out there, but we just gonna talk about your relationships. Cause we've talked about for your intimacy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems the one thing that I have heard when you've talked about your relationships is like wanting them to fit a mold of something. Cause it has come off when you have talked about these men, it's like very exacting
mm-hmm.
to what they needed. And in some ways that, you know, they didn't meet your expectations.
No.
It seems very clear.
Yeah. No.
And so didn't. Like, but that to me is like, whose expectations? Like, and you know what I mean? Like,
come on.
Like, who are you? You know what I mean?
Okay. No, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I definitely realized that later.
Yeah.
That I can sit back now and look at like my marriage, for example, and say we grew apart.
Yeah.
We grew in different directions. And no matter how much I wanted to dig in the sand and hold on to that, I had to come to terms with the fact that this was just not it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it worked when it worked, and now it's not gonna work anymore because we're different.
Yeah.
And particularly him, you know, mm-hmm. and now, but I do admit my second relationship, I definitely wanted him to be what I wanted him to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted him to be that way because that's how he presented himself to me.
Okay.
If he had come into the relationship being himself,
okay.
I think
so you
got
you felt like there was a bait and switch.
Yes.
Okay, got you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I got you.
100%.
Because sometimes I'm like, girl,
100%.
Like,
I met someone, and then I was with someone, if you know what
I
mean.
I got you.
Like, there was definitely.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And
yeah.
I think that's one of the things, because you talked about, like, again, going off script, because my relationship, I'm not going to get into too much detail. I feel like it needs its own.
It does. We should definitely have a.
Well, I think we should have like a couple's day where we talk about stuff. Because one of our friends, they've gotten into a new relationship as well.
Sweetness.
So, but when we've talked about, if you listen to the podcast regularly, you heard these conversations.
We've talked about these things,
but
they're not secret.
Yeah. And you said, wait a minute, that's a lot. And while I was going through it, I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is a lot. But at the same time, because we did all that work and we uncovered all this like gunk and junk at the beginning, I feel like now I'm really at a place where I feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, oh, this is really real.
Yeah.
Instead of, I'm still worrying.
What are we doing?
Like, where are we going?
Where are we?
Like, no. Like, I'm down, ride or die. I feel that way. Still gives me like, because you're human, there's anxiety and stuff. Sure. But at the same time, I know that I'm committed to this man because I've been committed. I've seen some really like extreme behaviors from my perspectives.
Yeah.
But that didn't, again, it's our teaching background, recognizing behavior isn't someone's core of who they are. It doesn't change their value. Like, you still have value, even though we fought and angry, like, whatever. But you as a person is different from the behavior that you're showing.
Right, absolutely.
And so it's allowed me to be more flexible and like, let me actually work through this. That, and then, being under the influence can help, too. Again, the story, tell you.
Release those inhibitions. You gotta... You never know where the trip is gonna take you.
Yeah.
True. But yeah, like I definitely feel like you are absolutely correct in that. I did expect there were expectations, mm-hmm. and because of the way they presented themselves, I expected a certain thing.
Yeah, and that is fair, because I would say I've just heard that time, and so it's made me curious.
I definitely didn't meet who I was with. And, people throw around the term narcissism and narcissist. And everyone's a narcissist and all that crap. Okay, but I really was with a narcissist. Oh. Seriously, textbook.
Mm-hmm. Textbook?
Textbook.
Okay. Well, you're getting a master's.
Could have put that picture right in there next to it.
Okay.
Like, you want to
see
narcissists.
Listen, he wasn't that cute either. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I haven't seen your husband. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of him.
I'll show you a picture. He looks my children's favor. Their dad.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought, oh my gosh, I thought my ex was like everything, honey.
Girl. Listen, I have another friend and she talked about her baby daddy. When she showed me a picture of him, I was like, ooh, what's that? Y'all be, again, going off script. It's like, at least if you gonna get, digmatized or whatever by a man, let's make him fine. Can we do that?
He was fine.
At least follow that script.
He was fine to me.
It was fine. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, now see the picture you saw. He was like,
ooh. Yeah, he was kind of toe up.
It was the best.
I didn't appreciate that.
I'll show you a better picture. Maybe you'll get where I'm coming from.
But you know, okay. But now
his attitude made him ugly.
Listen, okay, because that reminds me. I was in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Negro. Now, not my barber, because my barber is very respectful. But it's really interesting, the dynamics between men.
Yeah.
So, like, when some men just start talking, like, again, BS. Now, he's going in about, like, P this and B this is. Mm. And I'm like, Negro. Any person, from my perspective, that talks about wanting to have sex that much, you've got some insecurities.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sorry. And then you don't, then he starts talking about P-Valley. And says, oh, well, that punk and da 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 da.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, again. But then you move back to the women and, and I'm dating a woman and she's bisexual. And then that's hot. And I'm like, do you hear yourself?
No.
Negro? Because I really want to say, again, as much as you're talking about having sex with women and disrespecting them, and then you wonder why black women don't want to deal with you.
Right.
Like, please. I'm thinking, like, as a gay man, I'm in here, and you're talking about, like, punks and stuff like that. And do you not know that some of your customers are gay? One, first and foremost. And then two, like, we have female friends that we might have been, like, wanted to introduce you to, but I'm not going to introduce you to any one of my friends that you're talking as, like, be this and be that.
Respectful.
Come on. And then you're confused by why you're alone? Negro.
It should make a lot of sense to people like that. It should, but it doesn't.
And then they keep
somebody. They're never single.
Well, and then I'm telling you, too, and I'm like, that person that's just, you're so, talking about sex so much. I'm like, dude, you know, you, if a guy tried you, you would get it. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Because you want it so bad.
Thank you. If you were that freaking hard up, you will take it from anybody.
Real talk.
So, yeah, that can be another episode, but yeah.
It could.
Because he's not ugly. I'm an older, nice, attractive older man. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, wife beater stuff. I'm like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some hood deal trade.
Giving those vibes.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of them are. They don't even realize it.
Oh, it's your head. Anyway.
Showing.
Okay. So this has been our off-script episode. Again, we've enjoyed this season. We will see you for season 4.
Yes.
Again, 4 weeks off. And?
Yeah, so catch up on seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Okay, have a good one. Again, this is Reese.
Bye, and Tay.
Bye.